Good afternoon, sir, and what is your name, sir?
Jose Abreu.
Okay, who's going on this one? That's Jose?
I have it.
Okay, I think I need to make a phone call, that's why I'm repeating that. I think that's why I'm repeating that. No, I am not repeating it for that reason. I think it's the only one.
There it is.
Oh, we did have one.
Good memory you have. Mr. Fiore, we have to make a phone call, so just hold on and we'll get your individual.
This is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. It's understanding that you wish to participate in the hearing for Mr. Farrar today. Am I correct? This is his parole hearing. Okay.
Well,
if you would just hold on to the phone at the appropriate time, the Honorable Miss Rittenhouse will call for you to participate.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Fiore. Sir?
Yes.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number?
Jose Abel Fierro, 04483.
Thank you, sir. We're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a parole hearing today. And this is for 412B parole, which is parole to a consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. And you became eligible for these on July 28, 2011. I'd like to introduce you to the board members conducting the hearing. On the other end for me, to your right, is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing. So I'll start with a little, just a review, Mr. Fiore. Are you 60 years old now, sir?
61, but
he's Cuban. You're just about ready to be 60? Let's see here. March 27th, yeah.
That's tomorrow.
Well, happy birthday. Let us be the first to tell you happy birthday, sir.
Thank you.
All right. And you're serving a life sentence for the crime of burglary in the first degree right now. And today, we're considering you for parole to a consecutive sentence, which is murder in the first degree, and that is also a life sentence. And it looks like you have a couple of other sentences that you've expired. One of them is aggravated assault and one resisting arrest, and those were for 1.5 years each, but they're expired now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't understand why they have them on my file. Why do they keep bringing them up?
Well, they're just shown on your record as expired. They're on here, but it just shows as expired.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because it's a historical file, so they just keep everything in there.
Oh, okay.
It looks like the crime that you're currently serving, the burglary, occurred on September 29th, 1985. Were you about 28 when that happened? You were about 27 years old, 28, something like that. And you were convicted by a jury trial on December 23rd of 86 and sentenced on March 6th of 87. And it looks like you originally received the death penalty, sir. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then later there was some sort of an appeal or an adjustment that happened.
They modified my sentence to life sentence.
Okay, so your sentence was officially modified. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, and it looks like you have a criminal history that dates back some. Back to as a juvenile in, looks like in 1975, you had dangerous drug and an armed robbery, and you wound up doing some time at Department of Corrections for that?
No, I went to juvenile.
Juvenile Corrections, okay.
Yeah, Arizona Youth Center down in Tucson.
Okay. Catalina? Is it the one at Catalina?
No, I think it was called AYC. Yeah, down by Lemon Mountain.
Right by Mount Lemon?
Yes.
Okay.
Around that area.
And then as an adult, starting in 76, it looks like you had a theft of a vehicle, and you got a probation for that, it looks like. And then there's an aggravated assault and aggravated robbery, and that looks like 6 years. You did 6 years for that?
Yes, ma'am. That was in Texas.
Okay, in Texas. Okay. And then an aggravated assault, it looks like you had an escape and a flight from law enforcement, a DWI, you did 5 years, was that in Texas also?
No, that was not DWI, that was burglary.
That was a burglary? Okay.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, I might, sometimes the history's a little garbled up and it's hard to tell what happened. So, but you had, go ahead.
No, I never had no DWIs in Texas or anything like that, no.
Okay. Did you have one in Arizona?
I think I did, but I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Okay. Okay, sir. It looks like in... How many years have you been in prison now, sir?
I think it's going to be 33.
Okay, so 33 years. And in that time, according to my count, in the total time that you've been in, it looks like you've had 23 major violations. Does that seem about right?
Something like that, yes.
Let me take a quick look again here. And they date back, some of them were back in the 90s. It looks like you had, about five or so back in the 90s, and then starting 2000, maybe. That's your most recent one, sir. I really have to ask you. Your most recent one is on February 3rd of 2019. What happened?
Which one?
2019, this February, you got a major for disobeying a verbal order. What was that about?
No. Okay, what it was, they tried me to house with certain individuals that I had some problems, in GP.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I refused to house in that house.
Okay.
If I go in there, I'm gonna get assaulted.
Okay, so this was not necessarily. Sometimes they call them different things, but this was a refuse to house. That.
Yes, it was a refuse to house. Yes.
Gotcha.
It was in January 15.
Okay. All right. But then I see another one here. I see another one. I'm a little puzzled about. That's dated January 6th of this year, and it's tampering with a security device. What was that about?
That wasn't my cell. They tried to give us a boss right up because he opened the cell doors. He opened the cell doors and he went out. I didn't go out. I stayed in my house. So we both got a write up and they dismissed it.
Okay.
They dismissed it.
Well, it's still showing as final, but it's, what that says is it's informal resolution. So they probably talked to you and said, yeah, okay, gotcha.
You see, that's one of the problems with the prison system right now. The officers allow the inmates, to come out of their cells. They allow them, to jimmy them up, and that's how they got out all the way and all night. And that's one of the problems that I refuse to have. So say, I don't feel safe in being in those yards.
Mm.
That's one of the main reasons.
Okay.
That's why I'm next customer right now, refuse to house himself with a prison non-guest.
Right, right.
Is that a candidate for me?
Okay. So you, are you in a single cell now?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, all right. So I see going back a little bit more, in 2017, I see a promoting prison contraband, and you got a major for that. What's that about, Mr. Fierro?
Well, it was tobacco, and it recently took out my cards. That's all it was.
Okay. Well, you can see why they would be concerned about a razor blade. I get that.
Yeah.
In June of 2016, you have an assault on inmate, and you got a guilty major for that. What was that about in 16, June?
He went into my house and started destroying all my legal paperwork, And several people told me that it was him, so I confronted him and he denied it. And I asked the officers, look, man, close my doors, don't keep it open. So the officers, you know, were responsible for that. I even brought this issue to Captain Baker, and he just ignored it. And he said, hey, well, why don't you just be quit being a freaking beaver and just act like a man. So, all right, that's how you feel. So that's what happened.
Okay. So you're telling me that they that inmates have the doors fixed so they can go in and out of their cell at any time at Lewis? Visits at Lewis?
Yes, ma'am. Right here at Rest and Buckeye. And Rest and Buckeye. That's how they do it. But mine happened over at Buckeye.
Okay. All right, so well, that's a little bit concerning, but, you know, I suppose someone will figure that out. It looks like you have taken some programming, sir. Smart Recovery, Thinking Straight, Conflict Resolution, Substance Abuse Education. Any other programming?
Well, right now we're a man. We're not allowed to have anything. We're not allowed to have anything or participate in anything.
Well, we understand. Sometimes people with life sentences have a hard time because they try to give the programming to people that are going to get out sooner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you okay, Mr. Fiore?
I'm in pain, man. I'm in pain.
Well, do you need to call somebody, or do you want to continue the hearing, or should we do it another day?
No, just let it continue.
Okay.
Continue.
Did the light go off in there? Oh, there, now it's back. Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay,
it's
just something funny happening on the video screen here. Okay, so we have no letters in your file that I could see. We have no one in the room to represent you or to represent the victims, but we do have on the phone your fiance, or the victim's fiance. I apologize. We have the victim's fiance. Yes, sir, on the phone today. So we'll be hearing from her later on. Now, is there any particular reason? Do you have family, sir? Do you have friends in town, or?
Well, most of my friends, you know, they passed away. My parents passed away, and all my family are down in Mexico.
Okay.
I do have family here, but they live in their own lives.
Okay. Do you get in touch with them at all? Do you talk to them on the phone?
Well, I write every now and then.
Okay. When's the last time you wrote to them?
Last week.
Oh, okay.
You see, they're too busy. You know, they don't have time, you know, to write me unless, you know, there's something very important that they need to tell me.
Okay, so I understand. All right. Let's see, Mr. Fiore, we haven't really talked about the crime yet. This crime involves a couple who came home to find you in their home, burglarizing their home. So could you tell us what happened that day? So why were you there? Why, what was your situation that would cause you to do something like that?
Well, actually, it wasn't my idea, it was somebody else's idea, because they said, you know, they wanted to go and pick up their girlfriend, and they wanted to use my car, so I said, all right. But I didn't know that they were going to burglarize Mr. Morphy's and Ms. Mandel's house. I didn't know that. And by the time I knew that, I was in the back of the car, and then there was a shootout and screaming and everything, but I take full responsibility for what happened, even though, you know, I wasn't planning on doing that.
So who were you with? Who was with you?
I was with a couple of friends. They got away, I didn't.
They got away entirely, and they've never had to face their...
Well, one of them is dead, and the other one is locked up in California, I believe.
And was that about this crime or some other crime?
Some other crimes.
So the two never got caught then for this crime?
No, ma'am.
Okay, and you maintain it was their idea to do this robbery?
Yeah, I told him, you know, there was other people, you know, involved. It wasn't mine. But I couldn't convince him, so that's why I had the death penalty and 25 of life. But like I said, I take full responsibility for my actions. There's no, I wish I could take it back, you know, and change my life for Mr. Morse's life, but it's not possible. So I gotta live with it for the rest of my life now.
So were you wounded and you said there was a shootout? Did you get shot?
No, it was just what it was. When I saw the shooter was going around me, one of the guys, you know, was trying to get out, trying to leave with my car, so I reached into it and he had the gun that he shot Mr. Murphy with, and then he shot me on the shoulder. It just grazed me. That's all it was.
Okay, so
it was just a graze.
It didn't penetrate the skin, okay. All right, because it said you had a bloody T-shirt on.
Yes, that was mine. That was my T-shirt.
That was your T-shirt, okay.
Yeah, that was mine, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Fuhrer, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Anyone have a question for Mr. Fuhrer today? Okay.
I was just wondering, you know, he's been before the board before, and each time he was denied, I was just looking at his record, and I'm just wondering why do you think this board ought to consider, what do you think I ought to consider voting for you today, sir?
Do you
want to
repeat the question, please?
Well, why do you think that I should vote for you today, sir? You committed the crime. I don't think that you denied that. And, of course, you've been before the board before, and my question is, why should I, as a board member, vote for you today, sir?
Why should you vote for me?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't expect anything, you know. I don't expect anything because whenever you want the board is going to think that I'm ready, they're going to let me go. If not, I'm just going to stay here.
Now, if you take note, if I'm not mistaken, if I make a mistake, please correct me. I believe that you do have an ICE detainer, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
So what are your plans? Do you plan to, if this board were to release you, do you plan to go back to Mexico, or do you plan to stay here? What are your plans, sir?
Well, I was a legal resident before I got arrested, and they took away my green card, so I'm planning to go back to Mexico State on there. I have nothing left for me to stay here in the States.
So who do you have in Mexico? You have close family members down in Mexico?
Oh, yes, I do. I have uncles, aunts, cousins, nieces and nephews, and they told me as soon as you get out there, you got a place to stay. Stay with us, and you got a job. You know, we got a job waiting for you down here. And you want me to come back to the States?
Excuse me, sir. Now, who do you have here in the United States? Do you have any close relatives here in Phoenix and Arizona?
Yes, I do have. I do have family here in Phoenix, California, Texas, and Colorado. But I'm not planning to stay here in the States any longer.
Well, I mean, do you have a wife or kids here in the United States?
Well, I don't have any kids, but I have a girlfriend, you know, she's married already to somebody else.
Oh, she's married to somebody else now, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what would you be doing then in Mexico if this boy were to release you, sir?
Well, I was thinking about working in the hotel business or trucking business.
Oh, okay. Both of those are good businesses, if you could get into them, yes, sir. Okay, well, I think that's all I'm going to ask you at the moment, but thank you so very much, and thanks for talking with me, sir. Thank you so very much, John Boone.
You're most welcome. Any other questions from board members? Okay, Mr. Fuhrer, I'm going to give an opportunity for the victim's fiance to speak, if she'd like to. Ms. Maris?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to present information to the board today?
Yes, can you give me 1 minute to finish writing some notes?
We absolutely can. You go ahead.
Okay.
sorry, Ms. Manners.
Pardon me?
Go ahead, yes, thank you, go ahead.
Okay. I'm changing my phone so I can hold it in my hand again. I appreciate being able to participate today. I've, from time to time, watched Mr. Fierro's conduct while he's been in prison via the website that lists his offenses, which have been, as you mentioned, considerably numerous over the years. I've been concerned about him ever getting out because he knows my name, he knows who I am, he knows that I participated in the trial against him. Those are all concerns for me. When he came to our house that night, he had 2 days before stolen a gun from a house down the street. If he didn't personally steal it, he at least had it in his possession. He shot that gun at Joe and me. He fired shots from several weapons at the two of us that night. The night that he came, only 2 to 3 weeks before that, he had been deported, or I'm not sure of the terminology, I believe it's deported, back to Mexico on his release from Texas. When he's released from prison, whatever he goes on when he's released from prison, my mind's jumbled.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was deported to Mexico and came back here within 2 to 3 weeks and committed the burglary down the street, and then the murder and burglary, which turned into a robbery at our house. I don't believe that if he goes back to Mexico that he'll stay there. I think he'll come back here again. Let me look down my notes here. When he was on the property, I only saw him. I only saw one person. He got in the car and drove away. There was nobody else with him. The police found nobody else on our property, and they did an extensive search and stayed for quite a while. So I believe that he committed the crime himself, that there was no one else there. In the past, he has not taken responsibility for either the burglary, robbery, or shooting. He said it was somebody else that did it, that was with him. And it's interesting to hear his story today, where he does accept responsibility. And I commend him for that. I'm glad that he is accepting responsibility. It doesn't change my mind that I think that he should not be paroled from the first crime and allowed to start serving the second sentence. He doesn't deserve that benefit, that reward, especially with all of the stuff that he's been involved in the entire time he's been in prison. I think that's basically all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you so much for attending this hearing today, ma'am. I'm going to see if fellow board members have any questions for Ms. Manners. Okay, thank you, Ms. Manners, and you're certainly welcome to stay on the line, and we'll just go on with the hearing, or you hang up whenever you want to go.
Okay, I'll stay here for a moment.
Okay, thank you. We're back to you, Mr. Fierro. We're coming up on the end of your hearing, but I have to ask you, do you want to be paroled, considered for parole? I mean, is this something that you'd like, or...
Well, I'd like to say something to Ms. Ann Manners.
Well, sir, Mr. Fierro, you can't address her directly, but you can address the board.
Okay, let me address the board, please. But I would like to address the board. There's nothing to fear for me, because I'm not a vengeful person. I changed, I've learned a lot, you know, in the last few years that I've been locked up. And there's no reason for me to go and take revenge on anyone. I already went through that. My younger years, I'm another person who I have changed. If I'm the angel of war, I appreciate it. If not, I just have to wait. But like I said, I'm not going to take revenge on anyone, especially on any other basis, man. Like I said, I'm sorry for what happened. I wish I can take it back, and I wish I can trade place and go with Mr. Mosley. But it's not possible. So now, that's all I can say, man.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Fiore. That's very nice of you to say that. Mr. Fiore, I also want to put on the record that we do have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, and it's dated March 14th of 2019. And in this letter, in addition to describing the crime, the Maricopa County Attorney's Office states its position that they object to any possible parole for you, sir. So I just wanted to make sure we got that on the record. So, Mr. Fiore, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say, what murder are they talking about? Can you please explain that to me, please?
This is the Maricopa County Attorney will routinely write letters to the board when people are coming eligible for parole. And they express their opinion about the fact that you were prosecuted and you're serving your time, and this is their opinion that their opinion is that you should not be granted parole. This is just stating their opinion.
Oh, I think you're saying
whether
there was another murder pending.
No. Oh, no, sir. I'm sorry. It's just a communication.
No, but what I got is just my hearing is not all that great. You see, I got beat up and my hearing went out of me by multiple inmates, and my hearing is not all that great.
Well, sir, as we all get older, all of our hearing starts to go, so I completely understand. So, all right, Mr. Fiore, the board is going to go into discussion. And you know, you've been here before this board on other occasions, so we do all our discussion in public, sir. So we just ask you stay on the phone and just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir? Thank you. Okay, the board is now in discussion, and Mr. Fiore is very straightforward about what happened the day of the crime, and I'm not quite sure that we have the whole story, but I think it would almost be impossible to get the whole story at this point. But my concern is, and as Ms. Manross pointed out, he has come into this country illegally before, and his plan is to go back to Mexico, and my concern is that he would come back. And for whatever reasons, I know he has family down there and not very close family up here, but whether for work or for other opportunities, I think he may come back to this country. And the other thing that concerns me is his discipline and just how much recent and discipline that there is. And so I would, at this point, based on those two factors, I would not be in favor of granting this parole, in addition to the letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. But I would listen to, is there any other thoughts that fellow board members have about this?
I'm going to agree with you.
All right, sir. Then I'm going to make a motion that we deny parole to the consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, and that based on the year of the crime, 1985, that we ask for a one-year set-off. And that is my motion. Second?
Agreed.
All right, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Neal. Agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Pianis. The least part denied is 412B to the consecutive sentence and 411. The reasons for denial, serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury. I'm going to check multiple victims because he shot a gun at two people. One of them unfortunately died, but the other was also there. I am going to check prior criminal history, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary, poor no release plan, although that doesn't necessarily apply in this case, and no family or community support system. Can board members think of anything else that should be included? Okay. All right, back to you, Mr. Fierro. The board has voted to deny your parole at this time, sir, and we've asked for a one-year set-off, which means that you will be certified by the Department of Corrections to come back before the board in about a year, sir. And at that time, we will talk to you again and look forward to seeing you then.
Hey, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes, sir.
Can I have a copy of this parole hearing, please?
You could ask through your CO3, you could ask and have them contact the board, because the board's a separate agency from corrections. But their CO3 will know how to get in touch.
Yeah, because I already asked him for once, he just keeps denying it, so he told me, you know what, you should ask the board to send you a copy, they can do it for when they get through.
It would be his responsibility to do that for you, sir. It would be his responsibility.
I got one from last year from this board. You guys sent me one.
Oh.
I got it right here from Mr. Quinones.
You will get that.
You'll get that.
Yes.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm talking about, yeah.
Okay, well, I thought you meant a transcript of everything that was said.
No.
Just
no.
The results.
Yes.
The results.
Yeah, the result, yes.
Okay, so yes, you'll get that. Now, did you hear all the reasons for denial, sir, and you understood the reasons?
Yeah, I understood the reasons.
Okay,
sir. Yeah, thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much for participating in your hearing today, and we look forward to talking with you in about a year, sir.
Thank you.
And Ms. Manlos, thank you so much for participating today.
And thank you for allowing me to do so.
You betcha. We'll be.
I'll see you in a year too.
All right. We'll see you then. This hearing is concluded then. Thank you. And Mr. Fierro, if you could just lay the phone down and let the CO3 know that you're finished. Thank you.